Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. And if you are with us this week, you're actually watching live, which we haven't done before. So welcome. We're glad you're here. And, you know, as the podcast kind of gets going on today, we're kind of, it's a learning curve for us too, but we're glad you're with us. But if you have any questions, you can just type them in and hopefully I'll be able to read them off the monitor, see how my eyesight's doing today. But again, if you have any questions about what we're doing, man, just type them in there and we'll try to get to them. But we are so glad you are here. So let's kind of catch up. Eric, good to have you back.
Hello.
You can't see Eric. Maybe we should call you Eric, the man without a face.
I love this.
Wasn't that a book?
I think so.
Sounds kind of dark. I don't know. But Eric, we're glad you're back. Now, did you get any bike miles in this week?
I did. I only put in 10 miles, but, you know.
10 miles is better than 0 miles.
That's true. I'm doing 2 miles, 2 to 3 miles every single day on the inside bike, but the outdoor bike, I only put 10 on.
It was like my youngest the other day. It was nice out. And I said, you going to go outside? She goes, I don't want to go out in the sun. The UV rays are only like 5. And I said, well, the UV rays in here on the couch are 0. So,
yeah.
So 10 miles is awesome. It's better than what I did today. I always say I get up and ran around the block 3 times today, and then I kick the block back under the bed. I am not a runner. I got to start doing more cardio. I work out every day, but my cardio, I mean, I do like circuit training, which is kind of great because it gives me some of the cardio benefits, but there's nothing that's going to compare when you can do some good cardio. But what about, Eric, what about this squirrel situation? Now, some of you that if you're just tuning in for the first time, Eric has had this squirrel he has named Kevin. He has a wanted poster with Kevin's name on it and a picture of him. He's this little chubby furry fellow who was chewing the wires in his vehicle. So where are we with the latest on Kevin?
So there's been no more attempts on the vehicle's life. Kevin, I have not seen him since, but I am keeping an eye on him.
He's kind of a rover, kind of a Range Rover, kind of a... It was a car joke.
Yeah.
Sorry, wasn't very funny. Bad dad jokes.
I put our email address up on the screen, too, for other questions.
Awesome. And that is podcast@unleashed.men.
That's it.
So if you want to go through that way, we always take your questions. But again, if you want to, if you're watching us on social media today, just kind of type the question in, and when they pop up, we'll see it, and we will try to get to it the best we can. Well, this weekend, what'd you do this last weekend?
I really not much. Rode the bike, played around with the pool some, but nothing very exciting. How about you?
Yeah, Stacy and I were down in Bedford, Indiana. At the there was a First Church of God in Bedford, Indiana. We've been there maybe 2 or 3 times before. Awesome church. I mean, their worship is second to none. It's just an incredible place, and the people are so warm. We just love going back and visiting. And I did a men's steak. It was like a week before Father's Day. It was a steak dinner for the guys, and I was able to speak to them on Saturday night. And I did, out of my book, The Roar Within, I did the Big 5 Man Killers that night with the guys. You know, it's those things that we all struggle with. You know, as men, we're always going, you know, what are my biggest problems that I have? How do I face these? How do I conquer them? And so we went through that. It was awesome. The steaks were as big as the screen on my laptop.
I love this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they were just massive. Stacy's like, why don't we split one? Well, why don't you give me like a third of your, why don't you give me like a tenth of yours? They were huge. But it was an awesome thing. And then on Sunday morning, now this is kind of cool. So I got to speak in both services and, you know, prepared the message to go down there. But, you know, I'm so used to speaking all the time that I forget, you know, when Stacy's joining me, that she's not used to speaking as much. She's powerful. She speaks her mind. I love her honesty. But she's not just kind of like used to flying by the seat of her pants. And sometimes I can kind of get her the information we're going to be doing maybe a little bit later than what I should be. And so this is really, I'm just going to be honest about some stuff here because it was really meaningful and powerful. So the first service, we get in there, you know, they did a baptism. They had a young boy get baptized. I was standing there crying like a baby because I baptized my son when he was young. And you know, when you see that new life beginning, and you wonder, what is that boy's life going to be like? You know, as he grows into a man, if he knows his identity in Christ, you know, what kind of an influence is he going to have, you know, on this world and his community? And so I'm crying watching that. And now let me just kind of back up to that morning. We had been at the hotel, We go down and have our breakfast. And as we're having our breakfast, I had said something to Stacy, and she'd kind of come back with something. And you know how we as men sometimes can deal with this. We feel like a lack of respect sometimes. She was just saying something to me that was kind of an honest statement. And I felt a little bit disrespected by it. So I kind of came back with, you know, I didn't say I don't appreciate that, but it was something similar. Now, when you're getting ready to go speak, you know that the enemy is always going to try to come after you. And I just talked about the big five man killers. Number two is lack of respect. And in that moment, she was feeling a little bit, I think, worked up because she knew she was going to be joining me to speak, which is something that's relatively new to her. And I had kind of thrown this thing together a little bit too fast. Long story short, we have to pull in the Taco Bell before we get to the church to sit there and pray and talk this thing out, because I want my heart, my mind to be in the right place. She wanted the same thing. So we get in the church service, and she leans over and she whispers to me, "I don't think I can join you this first service." She goes, I don't have my heart in the right place. You know, internally, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I'd rather not do this. And so I was a little bit irritated because, you know, we're both going in there to speak. First service, you know, I did the entire thing. And when everything is over with, I wasn't quite sure how to address her because I didn't know what to do. Are you going to speak second service with me? Do I need to do this again? Because I knew my mind had been thrown off a little bit. You know, when the unprepared can happen sometimes, you can kind of stutter around. You're not as powerful as what you would love to be able to be. So in the second service, she leans over and she whispers to me, I'm doing this service with you. And it was pretty close to when I was going up. And I was relieved because her testimony is powerful, what she has to say. And so I get up there and I'm going through half the service. And when I go to invite her up, she steps up and I begin to talk as she's kind of getting her mic and everything set. And she cuts me off and I kind of look at her for a second and she said, I need to stop for a second and I need to apologize to my husband and I need to apologize to the church. She said, first service, I did not have my heart and my mind in the right place. She goes, I was having a little tiff on the inside and I just didn't think it would be right for me to get up there with my heart not being in the right place. But as I sat through worship, she said, in that first service, worship has a way of touching me like nothing else does. It just gets into her soul. And she says, I need to apologize because this needs to not be about me. This needs to be about God and his purposes. You could have heard a pin drop for a second when she said it, and then the place erupted in applause. You know, everybody wants to see honesty, vulnerability. And sometimes, you know, I can become a little too polished with everything that's going on. Like, it's got to be this way or it's not going to work right. And it just kind of proved to me that what this world right now is really looking for is show me your human side, your human side. I mean, what's really happening in your life? You know, they see, you know, the Facebook posts, or they might see when you're speaking and you kind of got this presentation all polished up. But sometimes they need to see that life isn't perfect. And one of the powerful things that happened afterwards, most people were gone. The pastor came back and he spoke, Travis, he spoke to Stacy and he said, thank you for your honesty. He said, the biggest arguments my wife and I have is right as we're on our way to church. And that's what the enemy does, because when he knows you've got a purpose and a powerful message that can change lives, he's going to do everything he can to get that foot in the door, to get between you guys, to cause dissension between you. And I know it's going to happen. I always know it's coming. But the enemy does it in different ways every single time. It'll kind of give you like a left hook or, you know, throw you for a loop. But you have to be able to stay focused on what the purpose is ahead of you. And it's that safety net that we have because Christ is in us that we can be vulnerable and say, here's what I'm really struggling with. Here's what I'm going through. It's kind of like a life jacket, because it's not about my performance or what people are going to think about me. It's about Christ in me. And that is the life jacket that sometimes I need to know that I have, so that if I'm going to be, you know, really painfully honest and vulnerable, that I don't have to worry about what somebody else is going to say about me or think about me. The only one I really care about is Christ in me. And Paul talks about that. You know, he talks about it in Galatians chapter 2. I think it's verses 9 through, is it 31? And he's talking about, I'm no longer driven to impress God. He said, because Christ lives in me. He says that this life you see me living is no longer mine. And he's talking about it's lived in the one who made me. So that's kind of where we're going to go today. I wanted to start off. I always love to start off with some kind of a, you know, a crazy story after we do the intro. And I was thinking about, you know, the life jacket thing and some kind of a story from my past. And I remembered it was probably around 2012, I'm thinking. And my buddy Wade that you have heard, I've talked about many, many times on the podcast, he passed away 5 or 6 years ago now. But he was my travel partner doing adventures everywhere, from everything from Alaska to Africa. And this trip, we were in Alaska, and we were in the Zodiac, and you've heard me talk about that. It looks like the Navy SEALs, what they use. And I think we had a 25-horse Yamaha in the back, and we're out on Skilak Lake down off the Kenai Peninsula. And there's a river that runs into it down at the one end. And we were fishing down at this one end of the lake, and we had our life jackets on. And as we're kind of fishing and just kind of, you know, cutting up, and this boat kind of pulls up, and Wade goes, "You got your license and everything ready?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" He goes, "Well, this looks like the game commission or whatever." And he says, "They're going to come up, probably check and make sure we've got our life jackets with us and you got your license." And when they pulled up, they said, "Hey, have you guys like been fishing here for very long?" We said, "Well, we've been here for a couple of hours." He said, "Well, we need you to kind of maybe leave the area, or if you don't and you're willing, would you be willing to kind of stick around and kind of search the waters?" You're like, "What for?" He said, "Well, had someone drown. They were in a riverboat, it capsized, and the man who was swept overboard didn't have on his life jacket, and we haven't found him, so we're assuming he probably drowned." And so I went back before I did the podcast this morning, and I started to go online to see if I could find an article about this, and I found one. And it was from the Anchorage Daily News, and actually this was 2008, it wasn't 2012. But it says Cooper Landing, and then it says Alaska State Troopers say a body they recovered from the Kenai on Thursday evening belongs to the man who fell out of a boat and drowned late last month. So it took a while. And then it says the Anchorage resident, which I won't say his name, who was 56, disappeared into the river near Jim's Landing the afternoon of June 28th after his boat had capsized, throwing him to the water, says Troopers said. His body was found Thursday evening in the river near it, where it enters Skilak Lake, Troopers said. The state medical examiner today confirmed the man had drowned. The victim was not wearing a life jacket when he fell into the river, Troopers said. Another passenger in the boat made it safely ashore. And I can remember that like it was yesterday and thinking, why would someone be in these waters in Alaska? Because I don't care if you're on a river. I don't care if you're on a stream, on a lake, out in the open ocean. I've said this so many times, Alaska can eat your lunch on the count of one if you're not paying attention. And when we don't discover, you know, and pursue our purpose, you know, that we're going to talk about today, we can like drown like in the lake of the mundane, you know, of the very bored, you know, feeling lost, you know, and we can become bitter and angry when we don't know what that purpose is. It really can be like losing a life jacket, and we drowned in all those things I just talked about. So I created something for today's podcast, and it's called the Purpose Funnel, My Purpose Funnel. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of give you these things. I think there's like seven of these things that go down in a row. And what I'm going to do is kind of go through each one, talk about Scripture, how they all play together. But in this life that we have, God has created something which is amazing in our life, that in the very end, God didn't make us just for ourselves or for his pleasure. He made us to profit others, to serve. You know, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, you know, about who's the greatest, what did he do? You know, he gets down and he washes their feet. Those who are going to be the greatest are those who are going to serve. But if we don't know who we are in Christ, if we don't know what our purpose is, and we're going to go down through all this stuff, we will end up drowning in that lake of the mundane, the bored, you know, the angry, the bitter. So in this purpose funnel, I want you to kind of imagine, you know, the way a funnel kind of comes down, maybe like an oil funnel or whatever. And at the very top, the very first thing I want you to be realizing today and thinking about is that in the very beginning, when God created us, he predestined us to be here. I mean, what I'm saying is he had a plan for our life to be here at this time, right now. You know, if you're listening to this, you're here for a reason. You're listening to this. I'd really believe because God has a purpose for your life and he wants you to be hearing this right now. So the first thing that we have is that God, he put us here. He predestined, planned for us to be here. So let's go back and look at some of the scriptures. I've got a few of them here in front of me. And this one's out of Genesis 1:26-28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. When God made man, he meant something. When he made woman, female, he meant something. But they are uniquely different. And we see all the confusion that's been happening, you know, in our country and around the world. And I think sometimes we just need to go back to the one who made the world, the one who made everything there is, and say, "God, how did you create me? Why did you create me? Who am I, really?" I always talk about identity, who we really are in Christ. And so I want you to take that as kind of the foundation today, that you were made by God. And your identity, if you're a believer, is Christ in you. That's your true identity. So understanding again that you were made by God and that you have a purpose, which is going to be the next thing we're going to be going into, that when we have this purpose that God made us with, remember in going back to God planning you to be here that you were created in your mother's inmost being, right? In Psalm 139:13-14, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." I wrote a song, I think it was around 1987, and it was a song called Masterpiece that I began to work on. I think, yeah, Sandy Patty cut it on her Friendship Company album. And I took it from that verse, that God knew me before I was ever born, that he was forming my body. That is so important for you to understand before you can even get to what your purpose is, that God absolutely made you for his glory, for his purposes. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb," says, "I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." These are Jeremiah's words, that God had created him for a purpose, and he's letting us in on that right now. So let's move down to the next one. I've been talking about purpose. So again, you were planned by God. You were predestined by him to be here. But the next thing we have to look at in this funnel is my purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared," now listen, "in advance for us to do." You see it right there, what he's talking about. I had a plan for you before you were ever born. He said he created these things for us to do. Here's another one, Ephesians 16:9. It says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." God has these planned for us to follow. So what he's saying is, you know, follow the breadcrumbs. I was speaking yesterday, and the sermon title I had was called The God Nod. And it was about learning to hear the voice of God. You know, when he is speaking to us, how do we know it's him? And I was talking about like following these breadcrumbs or like reflective tacks when you hit them with a flashlight on a tree. God puts these things out for us to be able to see. But the thing is, we have to know him. We have to know his voice in order to know which direction that he is calling us to go. And when I was about 14, I was baptized at the age of 12. At about 14, I was in my room one night. I held my hands up before God, and I said, "God, I'm not quite sure how to praise and worship you. This was back, I mean, we're talking like 1974. And I said, "But I want to know you. I want to know the plan you have for me. And so I'm just asking you to lead me and to speak to me." And in 1981, 3 years after I graduated, I decided to go to college. And I'm sitting in this little dorm room in Dunn Hall in Anderson, Indiana. And I opened up my Bible and I prayed that same prayer that I did when I was 14. "God, I want to know you. Lead my steps. I've come all this way, 400 miles, to pursue what you have for me. Reveal what that is." And again, I'm not saying, you know, just flip your Bible open and see what, you know, happens. But I was praying and looking at the scripture, and the very next scripture popped off the page. And it was Psalm 119. It was 54-56. And here's what it says. It says, "During my brief earthly life, I composed songs about your commands. In the night, I remember you, Lord, and I think about your law. I find my happiness in obeying your commands. But that first line, during my brief earthly life, I composed songs about your commands. And the funny thing is, when I went to college, I wasn't even thinking about pursuing music. Now, I was musical when I was young, but I was not sure what I was going to be doing. Well, fast forward many, many years, I ended up writing so many songs, you know, as an adult growing up that were recorded by many, many artists that were out there. I think it was 4 number ones that I had written and probably 15 top tens. And it all came back because that night when I was sitting there in my room alone, I said, God, show me what you want me to see. And he says, you're going to compose songs. And I had a peace in my heart about it when I heard that. So, again, one of the things I talk about is how do we know what's when God is speaking to us? That whatever that thought is, if it creates emotions that line up with the fruit of the Spirit, then we can be pretty much sure that it's coming from our Heavenly Father. You know, that passion of discovering who I was, you know, it continued because it was a path that God had me on. And in what year would it have been, about 2003, I had read the book Wild at Heart in 2000. In 2003, I went all the way to Colorado to go to one of these Wild at Heart conferences that John Eldridge was hosting out there. And that first night, I'll never forget this, because I was at that place again going, God, what am I supposed to do with my life here? It was another crossroads. And these words stuck in my head. John looked at all of us and he said, don't ask yourself what the world needs. He said, ask yourself what makes you come alive and then go and do that. Because what the world needs to see is men who have come alive. And I've never abandoned that. You know, all these years, probably since about that year, about 2003, men's ministry became, you know, front and center in my life. That's why I do this podcast. You know, the whole thing with Unleashed, when I say that we are the resistance, you know, the podcast, anybody can listen to it. And women, I hope you're listening to this as well. But it's to raise up warriors for Christ. It's to raise up men to know who they are, to be able to fight against the kind of stuff that we're seeing in the world. You know, Christianity is being kicked to the curb. Masculinity is being kicked to the curb. We have a country right now that doesn't know which way is up, which way is down, which way to go. And I truly believe this, that if we seek God as a country, if we are repentant, we ask forgiveness, we seek our Heavenly Father's will, that He will hear our prayers, that He will come back and clean house and do what needs to be done. But we have to know God. We have to have that relationship. I always say that, you know, conviction is a beautiful thing. You know, God doesn't condemn us. You know, it says that in Romans 8:1, that therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But to come under His conviction is a good thing. Because conviction leads to two things. Conviction leads to repentance, you know, a change of heart, like Stacy on that Sunday morning came up and she said, I need to apologize. She was feeling repentant because the enemy had been playing with her heart. And she was listening to that voice for a time and she didn't want that anymore. So conviction leads to repentance. And then the second thing it leads to is obedience, which is exactly what Stacy did. She got up there and she was repentant. And then she was obedient to go ahead and follow through with what God had called her to do. And the same thing within that purpose that God has given us. We come before our Heavenly Father and say, God, I want to know you. But if we really want to know Him, that means we want His will and not our own, which means we have to kind of lay stuff down and say, show me who I need to be here. So let's kind of move on. We had the purpose. And many guys will ask me, well, Brent, how do I know what my purpose is? And I kind of come back and I'll say things like, you know, what's that thing that you can't not do? Or you'd find yourself curled up under an underpass somewhere. Chances are that's probably connected to your purpose somewhere. It's that fire that burns within you, that thing you just can't not do. That's what men's ministry is for me. When I'm getting ready to come down here to do this podcast, I mean, it's like going hunting. You know, for you guys that love or fishing or whatever your passion is, I cannot wait to get to that location. You know, it's like when you're getting to your tree stand in the dark, just wondering what's going to happen. That's what this is like for me. You know, who's going to hear the message? Who's going to be encouraged? Like that little boy that got baptized. You know, is he going to be someone who, when we watch his life, is he going to go out and make a huge difference? Because he found his purpose and he chose to be obedient and follow it. So how then do we know, you know, this purpose? Well, you got to look at your passions. That's the third thing in the purpose funnel. What is it, again, that you can't not do? Let's look at Scripture. Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That morning when Stacy began to listen to the worship music that was going on. I saw a transformation happening in her from being upset to surrendering. And she was delighting herself in the Lord, and she wanted to get up and speak. She loves being able to share what God has been doing in her life and our lives. And then the next part of that verse says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And it was amazing what happened that service. Psalm 138:3 says, on the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. That's the passion I'm talking about. He will make you bold in your soul. And the other thing is, you know, that faith that you have and those beliefs that you have, it absolutely impacts your passion. I shared in a podcast when we first got started, it was probably maybe 4 or 5 podcasts in, and I had Roger Medley on, and we had been elk hunting in Colorado. And as we were coming out, the storms had been bad. It was muddy. It was terrible. We're walking maybe 6-7 miles out of all these switchbacks going back up the mountain. We were down like at maybe 8,500 feet, and we're going up to like 10,500. And it was like pancakes, you know, sticking to our boots. It was hard to walk, and I was exhausted. We were both exhausted. And I was, honestly, I mean, Roger will tell you this. I mean, he hadn't really trained. He lives at altitude, but he didn't train for the hunt. And I was training like a madman, so I thought, I'm going to walk circles around him. And we each have these real big, heavy backpacks on. And we get about at the last mile. And I had Roger telling me about his military service and about his passion for this country, how much he loves the freedoms that we have and how he would die tomorrow for this. And as he was sharing with me his passion, all of a sudden he's picking up the pace and I can't keep up with him anymore. He finishes talking and he is gone like a shot. That's what your passion does. There are days when I don't feel like maybe driving 400 miles to go and speak for an event or getting on another plane and being away from my family, but it's my passion for God. It's my passion to see men changed that makes it worth the trip. It makes the adventure out of the whole thing. You know, what does God have in store with this? So we know that our passion is something that God puts within us and it lights that fire. But just having the passion isn't enough. One of the things that I have to do, like before I come down and do a podcast, I'll be going through maybe some of the slides or whatever I've typed out. But I got to sit there and practice. Now, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it when I get to this point? Practice is so important. I had when I was in the martial arts, one of my instructors used to tell me, he'd say, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent. And so it's important that when we are going to be going out and doing that purpose that God has with that passion that we have behind it, that we are pretty sure we know what we're talking about. And so we have to be able to line things up with the Word of God, and then we've got to practice how we're going to deliver it, because I'm telling you, if you do anything in ministry or missions or whatever, you know the enemy's coming after you. And if you haven't practiced, it's like getting caught with your pants down. What am I going to do now, right? So let's look at some verses. Because you can't withstand the attacks of the enemy if you don't work out that scripture into your life. I love Ephesians chapter 6, and it's verse 13 through 16. And it instructs us, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, it says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, it instructs us to take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I love that. And then it finishes out with, and here's one of the most important things that we need to be doing with all of these things in this purpose funnel. It instructs us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Let's see, what else we have with practice? Ephesians, no, let's go to Philippians 4:9. It says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, it says, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. It's exactly what I'm talking about. When we practice and we put scripture within us, when those attacks come, he says, you know, the peace of God will be with you. And he promises that in Philippians 4:9. And then it goes on, this is in Matthew 6:1. It says, beware, now this is big, Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Wow, that's huge. You know, that's all about humility. And I can remember one time, and this is telling on myself, we had a Bible study at the house one night, and I just remembered this. And someone was reading a scripture, and I happened to have that scripture memorized. And I can remember moving my mouth with the words as they were saying it. And this has been years ago, but I thought to myself, I wonder if people have more respect for me because I know those words. Yeah, I'm not proud of that one. But God has a way of humbling us and letting us know that those are His words and not our own. Let me kind of go forward a little bit now. Let's go on with the next step. You know, after practicing, what do we do? Everything starts with prayer. And the next step after practicing is planning. We have to plan. So, you know, we have this, we're planned by God, we're predestined by Him. We have this purpose, we have this passion. You know, we've learned how to practice these things. But after you've practiced, you know, just like in sports, you know, you've got to, like say you had a football team. They're at OTAs where they're doing this camp right now. They're learning all their things in football. But when it comes time to get on the field, they have to have a plan. You know, the coaches all have to have everything put together. If the defense changes, they got to have a plan on offense. How are we going to handle this? If the defense shifts, what are we going to do? It's the same thing. In order to execute everything that you've been doing in this right now, you have to have a plan with what you're going to do with what God has given you. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans." Psalm 20, verse 4 says, "May He give you the desire of your heart and make all of your plans succeed." What He's saying there, He wants to give you the desire of your heart, but you need to be doing the planning here, and He will help you make those plans succeed. And then Proverbs 15:22, this is a big one. It says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." What is that? It says, those who judge themselves by themselves and those who judge themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, I need the voice of my band of brothers that I have sometimes to speak into me. I need the voice of my wife. I need the voice of my kids. If they see me getting out of line, you know, I need to be able to know that they're willing to come to me because I need to be able to do something different, which means planning on doing something different in the way that I'm holding myself, carrying myself. Maybe, you know, in the scriptures that I'm reading, what is it that they're noticing in me right now that is not lining up with the way I should be living? And so I have to take those things. And what I now have to do is, you know, after practicing all these, I've prayed about these things. It creates our priorities. You know, when we plan, now we have to get these priorities in place because we realize how important that plan is that we have because it's connected to the purpose that God gave us. You've probably heard it said before where it says, you know, discover the main thing and then keep the main thing the main thing. That is so important. I can't think what movie was it from City Slickers. You got to find that one thing. Well, it's not just enough to find the one thing. You got to prioritize. It says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." Now, notice how it says, do that first. It doesn't say go for fame, doesn't say go for money, it doesn't say go for title. It says seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then it says, and all these things will be given unto you. And then I love Paul in Philippians 3:14. He says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called, and He's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I have a to-do list that I do every day. I don't know if you're like me. But I kind of had to reformat how I was doing my to-do list because I wasn't getting stuff done that was the most important. So I kind of put it in three categories. I have my could-do list, like, hey, you know, I could mow the grass today if it doesn't rain kind of a deal, but that's going to take me an hour, and probably with the trimming, it's going to take me 2 hours. And then I have a should-do list. You know, these are the things that I should do. I should make my car payment today. I should go make that bank deposit, whatever it is. So you have your could-dos and your should-dos, but I've discovered that there's something more important in this funnel that we're talking about today. And it's not the could-dos and it's not the should-dos. It's what I call the must-do list. If I do not do what is most important today, I have to prioritize. That's the next part of this funnel, is to prioritize. If I don't do that next, all those other things begin to fall apart. And it's going to be delayed. You know, we all have these dreams and visions of the things that we want to do and this purpose that we've been called to do. But if we don't prioritize, nothing is going to happen. We're going to stay stuck. It's a speed bump that continues to we get hit with. I want you to think about multitasking for a second. You know, multitasking, people say they're really good at it. Well, honestly, there's no such thing. I mean, you can multitask, but there's no one that's really good at it. And why is that? Because the second you begin to multitask and you bring something else into it, your attention is now divided. You cannot do that one thing you were doing as well, because now you've got two, three, four, five things. You know, for me, what ends up happening is I'll be sitting there on my laptop working on something, whether it's curriculum or writing a book or making a podcast, and I'll have something minimized, or I'll have my phone where I can see it lighting up off to my side. You know, you've got your Facebook open, you've got your Instagram, you've got your emails, whatever is happening. If you don't learn how to have an uninterrupted workflow, you're going to find that those priorities are just going to be smashed because you've allowed other things to take precedence. So, like, imagine, like, my primary workday starts at 8 o'clock or whatever your thing is going to be, and say you're done at 5 o'clock. If you don't prioritize and get all those things ready in order of how they need to be done first, and you have these distractions, you're going to have distractions, you're going to have interruptions. And then it takes time for you to switch back to those things and kind of get reoriented to where you were. So the whole thing with prioritizing is be careful not to multitask if you can. Keep the main thing the main thing. Because when we can do that, I mean, the speed of which we can move forward in that thing that God has for us to do, it really is incredible. Your start time, your finish time, when you have a focused workflow, can be pretty amazing. And so, kind of going back through this, I just want to say this. All these things we just talked about, you know, that we were planned, predestined by God to be here for this time. And what happens is that leads to our purpose. God directs us to that. And that purpose leads us to passion, right? And that passion leads us to practice, and that practice leads us to planning, and the planning leads us to priorities. Priorities lead us to productivity. And what's all this about? When you put all those things together at the very bottom of that funnel that we're talking about, productivity profits others. So, Eric, have we got any questions that came in?
No questions came in. We did. We've had some steady viewership. It looks like, you know, David Patchett.
Yes.
He's thumbs it up and loved it, and so is Carrie Erickson Strickland.
Yes. Yep. Hey, Carrie.
Yep. So the one thing we're not clear about right now is if the questions, if they're asking questions on Facebook, if they're showing up here, I'm not seeing them. I know they will on YouTube. So next week, if you guys want to hop on and, you know, like right now, I just put a question or a statement up there. So,
well, let me just say this too. I'll go back into YouTube because we're going to be putting this stuff up live on Spotify and everything else later. I'll go back in and check and see if you guys have any comments. I'll always get back with you. If you want to go on the post with this and do something later, I always love to get back. I think it's important too. You guys matter. But with that, let me just kind of go back and say something real quick. We hope that you will keep listening to Unleashed. I think this is podcast. Is this number 49, I believe? But God has led us on this path to do this because we want to see lives change. That's why we're doing this. You matter. And I want us to be the resistance. I want us to be that generation that doesn't wait for another generation to speak up, to have our voices heard. I am tired of seeing Christianity kicked to the curb. I'm sick and tired of seeing what the media does to masculinity, to Christianity. And if we don't find our voice and speak up, and we line it up with Scripture and speak truth, our children are going to have to keep fighting this battle, one that we should have won a long time ago. So I want to encourage you that you do have what it takes, that God does have a purpose for your life. And we'd love for you to come alongside of us. And you can make sure you give us a like or on all these different platforms, wherever you watch podcasts is where you're going to find us. And if you want to join Unleashed Plus, that's a subscription page. You can find that at unleashed.men. And there's all kinds of stuff that you can put in there to just enhance your walk so that we can go and make disciples, because that's what we're called to. If you want to help fund the ministry of what we're doing here, we're listener supported. That's how we function here. I'm a missionary. That's what I do. My wife and I both. So we really could use your support. You can go to donate on the unleashed.men site, and we really could use your help. Again, guys, thank you for tuning in, and we'll get the bugs worked out for next time. But just know that you are loved. You have what it takes because Christ is in you. We'll see you next time. Done?